We're going to look at this morning Paul's last message. Paul's last message. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of His word to our hearts. I said it was Paul's last message, probably written from prison in Rome just a few weeks before his death. I say that because later on in this book, chapter 4, 6 and 7, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a testimony. As I've been going over and over this message, I said, oh God, if only I could leave a testimony like that. Listen, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And then, listen at these next words. I have fought a good fight. Paul fought a good fight with the devil, with the world, with the flesh, even with his own fellow believers at times. A good fight. And now he says, I've finished the course. That what the Lord had left me to do, I've finished it. And then these next five words grip me. I have kept the faith. Saints, I trust that we'll, all of us will be able to say that at the end of life journey. I have not made a detour. I have not gone after every wind or doctrine. I have kept the faith. May that be true of all of us. Paul's last message. You know, most of us are interested in a person's last words. Especially our family members, when they leaving this world, we want to know the last words they say. They seem to be so important to us. So, it's this message. It's so important as Paul leaves his last message. Thinking of a person's last words, I'm reminded of an elderly lady in her young years had memorized quite a few verses of scripture. And later on in years, she began to lose her mind and she only could quote one verse. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. She could remember that verse. But then as her mind began to leave her, she only could remember that which I have committed unto him. And just minutes before she goes to be with her Savior, the children at her bedside saw her lips moving and thought she may be asking for something. And they put their ears down to listen. And she was saying one word. Him. 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 She had lost every word of the Bible except one. But say she had the whole Bible in that one word. Him. Him. And Paul now has got one thing in mind, and that's him. And he wants to lead this message to the saints that we might not fail him. Paul's second epistle to his son in the faith is one of exhortation. He says, Timothy, stand strong. Timothy, as you face the difficulties of life, stand strong. Others, Timothy, have defected. Others have twisted the word of God. But Timothy, oh my son Timothy, stand strong. Beloved, that same message is for me and you today. Stand strong. Others might be twisted the word of God. Others might have failed. But let's stand strong for the Savior. And three times over in this book, second book of Timothy, we have the words of mention of hardship and suffering. And Paul seems to tell Timothy each time, be strong. Don't let these things pull you down, Timothy. Be strong. The theme of the book is 2 Timothy 2:15. And I don't know if we will get to that this morning. But maybe another time, Lord willing. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, Paul is saying, be diligent to study the word of God, that we might be approved of him. And to do that, we got to be a good worker. It is work in studying. And then he said this, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul knew what it meant, being a tent maker, to take that canvas and cut it perfect that it might fit together, to divide it right. Like a carpenter takes that piece of wood and cuts it for it to fit together. Paul says, now Timothy, I want you to take the word of God and rightly divide it, that it will all fit together. This morning I want to divide the message up into four sections. That's the way Paul seems to divide it. His last message concerning the believer's life. And then the message concerning the believer's guide. And then the message concerning the believer's responsibility. And then concerning Paul's own life. The Lord Jesus used familiar stories and pictures to illustrate his message. Now Paul takes seven powerful portraits to explain the Christian life. And this morning, we want to look at some of those. First, he looks at a son for affection, and then a soldier for endurance, an athlete for concentration, a farmer for patience, a workman for faithfulness, a vessel for service, and a servant for obedience. We're not going to get through all of those this morning, but maybe, Lord willing, we'll look at them maybe next Sunday or maybe some other time. First, a son for affection. Listen at Paul. Thou, therefore, my son. My son, my child. And an affectionate term, isn't it? Paul, never being married, never had a son. But to Timothy, he's not only a son in the faith, but to Timothy, he's almost like a son in the flesh. And how he dearly loves him. Well, saints, as I thought about that this morning, how Paul reckoned Timothy a son, I thought about how God reckons you and I this morning a son. Listen at 2 Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off have been made brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus. The verse before says we were strangers. We were aliens. We were afar off. But now, in Christ Jesus, one of His. How did it happen? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Nothing here, folks, today that you could do to become a son or a daughter or a child of His. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what God has done for every person who has trusted Him, has made us sons. And we are this morning as near to God as Christ is. We sometimes seem so nigh, so very nigh to God. I cannot never be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near as He. All because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen at what John says in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become sons of His. Sons, affectionate term indeed. And here we see in that verse, man's action. And God's action. Man's action is to receive and believe. And folks, if you have not done that here today, I trust that you will not leave here today until you believe and receive Him. As your Savior. God's part is to make you children of His. Son for infraction. Let me read Galatians 4 through 7. You need not turn there for time. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And this is the next verse that gripped me this morning again. Therefore, thou art no more a servant, saints, this morning, but a son, than an heir of God through Christ. I can hardly grip that this morning. Listen, God sent forth His Son that we might be made sons of His. And I ask this morning, Father, how could you do that? A son who you loved so dearly. I couldn't do it, folks. I got one son. I got one daughter. I couldn't give them up for a million worlds because I love them. God had one son. And one who He said, it was His well-beloved son. He was pleased with it. And He gave Him up for me. And He gave Him up for you. God sent forth His Son that we might be made sons of His. I'll never get through the depth of that throughout the countless ages of eternity. And proof of our sonship, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son to dwell in our hearts. Saints, we are what we are this morning because God sent forth His Son. We have what we have because God sent forth His Spirit. No longer a stranger, no more a servant, but a son and an heir, all by the grace of our God. Blessed be His name this morning. No wonder. No wonder John in his first epistle in chapter 3 and verse 1 says these words. Behold, take note what kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. a son for affection. Secondly, verse 3, a soldier for endurance. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As a son, he's to be strong. As a soldier, he's to endure hardness. Saint, this morning, let me say it may be wounds. It may be suffering. But God didn't start the fight. Satan did. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 tells us that, and we don't have time to go into that this morning. God didn't start the war. Satan did. But he says, Timothy, endure hardship. It's coming. And beloved, it's going to come in life. All through life, we're going to have trials. We're going to have hardships. But don't give up. Paul says, Timothy, endure. Endure all things. You know, a soldier for duty keeps himself in readiness for orders from headquarters. The reason why, because he wants to please the one that has enlisted him. Saints, this morning, I say it reverently, all of us should be ready for orders from headquarters, because we should want to please the one who has put us in the battle. I trust that will be all of us' desire this morning. Wherever, whatever, and whenever he calls us, we would be ready. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but watch thou in all things. He's talking to Timothy. Timothy, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Yes. Because as I said, Satan doesn't play games. Satan puts up a good fight. And they will come. Hebrews 12:7 says, but if you endure chastening, God dealing with you as the sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. And oft times, it's God who chastens. And nothing to do with Satan. You say, well, why would God chasten me? I see no sin in my life. Why would God want to even chasten me? That he might make us more like his son. That we might become more like the Lord Jesus. By remaining submissive to the chastening of God, we permit his discipline and he molds us more into the image of his son. Endure, Timothy, affliction. Listen at what Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 19. And this is difficult for me. Very difficult. It is pleasing to God if a man endure grief and suffering wrongly. When we suffer unjustly, Peter is saying we win God's approval if we take it without fighting back. Says it's pleasing to him. And I had to, Peter was here this morning, I would say to Peter, Peter, how in the world could I do that? When someone has robbed me, when someone has hurt me terribly, wrongly, how could I do it? Peter would say, turn to Hebrews 12 and 2. And here's what he would say, looking unto Jesus. Folks, saints, that is the only way I could do it or you could do it this morning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sat down at the Father's right hand. I understand that that word looking means to look away, to fix one's gaze upon and think that the only way that I could not fight back when someone wrongs me is to look at him and keep my gaze upon him and look at what he suffered for a rebel sinner like me, innocent, that I be made me the son of his. That is the only way. That is the only way we can do it. And then that next verse says this. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him. Consider him now. Not just look at him, but consider what he did. The spitting. No one's ever spat in my face. They did with him. I've never had nails in my hands and nailed to a cross. I've never been beaten or a crown of thorns in my head. Folks, that was enough. So the writer to the Hebrews says, look at him, gaze on him, consider him, and then it'll become easy to take it and not fight back, to endure these afflictions that might come upon us. Says, and he did it for the joy that was set before him. Saints, to have someone like me, he did it. I can't understand that. But we endure these afflictions and don't fight back because of the joy that awaits me and you that day, that coming day when we shall be with him throughout eternity. Consider him, and James picks it up and says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The soldier that endures will be rewarded one day. Will be rewarded one day. And it says, with a crown of life. I don't really know what that is. Maybe Brother Roddy, Brother Barron, somebody else could tell me. But probably a full enjoyment of the glories of heaven. I don't know. But I know this one thing. Every Christian will receive a reward. Everyone will have a cup. And I believe everyone's cup is going to be full. But only I believe it's going to be different. Size cups. And I believe that I look at that in that day. And I see my brothers and sisters who have done so much for him. I believe the tears will flow down my cheek when I see how little I've done for my sake. And I believe that's when that verse will come into fact. And he says he shall wipe all tears from their eyes. In that day. Saints, listen. You don't have to come behind here to get a reward. I've often said this probably be the smallest reward. You might sing for the Lord. You might work with young people. It's so many things you can do for the Lord. And if you do it, that's under him. God looks at it and knows the heart. It's going to be rewarded. In that day. Therefore, Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also might obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Paul, did I hear you right? Paul, you endure all things? Yes, Paul, no one suffered apart from the Lord like Paul. Beaten. Twice for 39 times, stripes on his back. Stoned for dead, shipwrecked, thrown in prison. Yes, Paul says, I endure all of these things that those elect, he's talking about the children of Israel, that they might be saved. Paul says, I'm willing to endure anything that they might be saved. and that the believer might be encouraged. Saints, that's it. That's it. We endure all these things that we might win the loss and that we might encourage those of us who are believers. Thirdly, an athlete for concentration. Let's look at verse 5. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, to win the prize, one must strive lawfully, or actually keep the rules of the game. You can't go out there and play ball and break the rules and win the prize. You just can't do that. You'll be disqualified. Paul says it is the same in the race of the Christian life. You can't break God's rules and get away with it. That's impossible. As the umpire of the game of life, God calls the fouls very, very close. You can't break his rules. You can't do as you please and get away with it with God. Sometimes we say, man, that umpire is calling those strikes so close. God's yet closer than that. He calls the fouls very, very close. How many fall out by the wayside? Disqualified. Why? Simply because they did not obey the word of the Lord. Folks, that could happen to us so easily. Paul was afraid, was in fear of that he might be a castaway, not a salvation, but he might be put on a shelf and be no more use for God. 2 Corinthians 9:24, 25 says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run ye, that ye might obtain. And then the next verse says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. As I thought of that this morning, it says every one who runs the race, they must have discipline. They're temperate in all things. It requires discipline in the games out there. It requires strenuous effort. It requires self-denial. And saints, it requires the same thing in the race, the Christian life race. All this requires. Then Paul turns it over from running to wrestling, and he says this. He reminds the readers that everyone who competes in the games, that is, wrestles, exercises self-control in all things. A wrestler once said to his coach, "Coach, can't I smoke and drink and have a good time in the world and still wrestle?" Coach says, "Yes, you can. But you can't win." Listen to me today, Christian, and I talk to you from my heart. You might say to me, "Freddie, can't I drink? Can't I smoke? Can't I go out there and have a live like the world and be a Christian?" It's possible. Not much less, but possible. But the bottom line is, Christian, you cannot win. There's no crown. What are we living for today? What is my life wrapped up in today? And I talk to me more than anyone when it comes to this. What am I putting all my efforts into today? Things that are going to be burned up and left here. 90%, if not more, of my time is placed on corruptible things. How foolish. How foolish I am. I had to ask God for forgiveness this morning as I thought about it. So much of my time for the things that is going to be corruptible. But Paul says, as Christians, we should strive for the incorruptible crown. I asked this morning again, what are we striving for? The corruptible or the incorruptible? If you forget everything I've said this morning, don't forget what I'm about to say right now. Only those who have borne the cross will win the crown. That's it. I came across by getting this message one verse of a poem. Listen at what it says. It's called Go On. One step won't take you very far. You've got to keep on walking. One word won't tell folks who you are. You've got to keep on talking. One inch will make you grow very tall. You gotta keep on growing. One deed won't do it all. You gotta keep on going. Listen today, saints. One step for God is not gonna get us very far. We gotta keep on walking. One word for Him is not gonna tell who He is. We gotta keep on talking. And one inch is not going to get us very tall in our growth for Him. We got to keep growing. And one deed is not going to meet everyone's need by no means. We got to keep on doing or keep on going. I trust today. I can't get into another point. If I get into another point, we're going to go over time. Saints, but my all thrust today is that an athlete for concentration that will strive, everything we'll do, will look forward to that day when we will win the crown. And of course, we'll cast it at His feet. A son for affection. Oh, how He loves us. He gave His life for us. A soldier for endurance, oh, that we would endure the afflictions as they come our way, knowing that one day we're going to be with Him forever. And then, for the good soldier, that we would endure whatever comes our way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brother Roddy, would you be so kind to close us out in prayer?